Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes Brave! Here's the pride of the play!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me play football?
Vance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
Sorry, Lake. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
I think he'll ever get out of here.
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
We back on the Second String Podcast. Another week with our man Adam. We did not run him off just yet. Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm listening to this song and I'm thinking, wow, this was Georgia's song for the past couple of years. And then we got grounded to a halt. So we have to give the back-to-back title to the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs this year.
Someone had to be back-to-back champions, reigning back-to-back. It may as well be the Kansas City Chiefs. Super Bowl in the books. That means football season is over. Done. Kaput. Now, here's the thing. Some people get sad about that. Some people are like, man, I'm going to miss football so much. You know my theory on that, Adam?
Tell me.
I love football because I have to miss football.
Right. It's never always around.
No, I need it to be gone for a while. I need to miss it like I've missed nothing else in this world. That way, when the fall rolls around, and what a perfect combination we have when the weather starts to change, the just all the things that go into fall, you get the kids back on campus. Because, look, I love this town all year long. Summer is amazing when the kids are gone. They're doing their internships. But when they come back at the end of summer, it's a little buzz in the air. You're like, man, football's about to crank up. The weather's going to change here before long. But I want to miss it for a while. So here we are. We're in the non-football portion of the year with the Chiefs as, like you said, back-to-back Super Bowl champions. It's good stuff. Good place
to
be.
You need a break to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honestly, it's great to have football all the time. But if you didn't, you couldn't get the rest of your life done.
No, and another thing.
Think about it.
Exactly. Another big thing today is Braves pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training.
Just saw they posted their welcome back. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah. And that's another thing, Logan, is baseball. I do love baseball. And it's nice to have that. I mean, when we get to July, I'm kind of over it. I'm just saying.
It depends on the year. Like right. If the Braves are as entertaining as they were last year, I'm all in. But there have been years, and thankfully it's been a little while. But yeah, I'm with you. If the Braves are stinking it up, we went through a nasty rebuild for a few years, and if you're just out of contention, I can lose interest in baseball real quick, and I get bored. But I say this, I'm going to borrow a line from Tim Bryan on this station, WGAU. He says, the Braves' number one job every year is to entertain me until football starts.
Yeah.
And then once that happens, hey, if you're still in it, you're playing baseball in the postseason, I'm all in. But if you're not entertaining, I'm going to have a boring July and August, like you said, man. So we'll hopefully have another. And I'm expecting a very good Braves season, by the way.
They're picked, too. Yeah. It's between them and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Dodgers added a lot. The Braves have made some moves, but not nearly as much. But I'm with you. Back in this morning, in fact, on my ref morning show, I was kind of updating that Twitter every few minutes. It was a conversation piece, like, when are the Braves going to announce officially happy spring training day? Because that's something that we get excited about. In fact, it makes me want to play this kind of music.
Okay. the
Braves are back.
Listen, and that is such a ironic piece of music. Is it a piece?
I would call it a piece.
That you play for the Braves because they have typically been criticized for how much money they spent. They got Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies locked up and even Austin Riley for a bargain. I mean, for what they're paying them, look.
I laugh sometimes when like a non-Braves fan or a non-Braves media member or something's like, yeah, they're robbing Ronald Acuna Jr. It's like, if you want to rob me and pay me $100 million, then I'm
right
up for it, man. That is generational wealth.
Right.
Is he worth a lot more? You darn right he is. And one day they'll get it worked out.
Right, but listen, they've been criticized and they've made some shrewd moves, but they have been able to build this team now, paying some and really building through some here and there free agency. And look, you scored on Matt Olson a couple of years ago, Sean Murphy, and you had a little duds with Kenley Jansen. You know what I mean? So now let's see what we can do this year. We were close again, but this is probably one of the most talented teams, Braves teams that we've had, this one.
They're might as good or better than last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Michael Harris may kind of snap out of his little funk. He got better at the end of last season, but Michael Harris is special, man.
Yeah, he is.
And you mentioned Kenley Jansen. Yeah, he was good up until the point where he drove you so crazy that it was not healthy for me to watch Kenley Jansen. But I love me some Raisel Iglesias. I think that dude when he's on. And the Braves certainly have him locked up, I think, for the next couple of years. Here's the big story, and we'll get back to the Super Bowl in just a second. I want to recap that pretty heavily here. But the Braves' biggest storyline, I think, these next few weeks, and about 6 weeks until opening day, is filling that fifth starter right now. You got Chris Sale in a trade from the White Sox. I think it was the White Sox or Red Sox?
Sox. Red Sox,
thank you. I got to remember all this stuff now that we're back in baseball mode. Max Fried is an ace. Spencer Strider, an ace. I've got personal questions about Charlie Morton. I'm told by some people I should relax and just let Charlie do his thing. But at 41 years old, look, Adam, I just turned 40. I know how much harder it is to lift weights in the gym than it was just a few years ago.
Right.
Charlie Morton was not available for the Braves in the postseason last year for some finger issues or whatever. But he is a 41-year-old machine of a man that is going to eventually run out of oil. Okay, that's the way Mother Nature works,
right,
or Father
right.
Time, I guess.
And the thing is, he's one of the original Gwinnett Braves back in the day.
I can one-up you on that, actually. Charlie Morton is the last remaining Richmond Brave. How about that?
Wow, I didn't know that.
He's the last player in all of Major League Baseball, I believe, that actually put on a Richmond Braves jersey before they came to Gwinnett. Doesn't that blow your mind a little bit?
This is a long time. 2008.
I'm looking at the Braves roster right now. You see, okay, here's some birthdays. Max Fried, 94. Strider, 98. Chris Sale, 89. Okay, getting back there. Bryce Elder, 99. A.J. Smith-Shawver, 2002. Oh, there's Charlie Morton, 1983.
See, this is the thing I'm thinking about right now, is he's a good guy, but if you're going to put your trust in someone that's 41, when is the last time we've actually had an over 40-year-old pitcher dominate?
So here's what he would tell you if he was listening. Now, wait a second, I won't turn 41 until November 12th. He's not wrong. But I was born in 83. I know what he's going through just getting out of bed every single morning.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Not to try to make myself sound like I'm ancient, but there is a certain clock, a body clock, per se, when you're a professional athlete, that things don't work the way they used to. But here, back to what I was saying, though. Max Fried, Spencer Strider, Charlie Morton, Chris Sale. There's your four dudes right there. That is the core of your rotation, assuming they're healthy. Bryce Elder, we may forget, he was an all-star last year, had a great start to the season, did not finish strong, but Bryce Elder may have what it takes to make the next step. And then the A.J. Smith-Shawver kid, he was pulled up a couple of times late last year and had a couple good innings, had a couple innings where he got rocked because, again, he was born in 2002.
Right, and I think seeing him in Gwinnett, by the way, over the Gwinnett Stripers, I think they pushed him a little bit too much. I remember seeing AA over there at the stadium watching him. I'm thinking, you're really going to bring him up? He's doing great against AAA talent, but to be able to rely on him in a pennant chase, it's very iffy.
It is so different, too, man. The level from AAA to the bigs is a monumental step. That's why you got guys that sometimes will click right away. Other times you bring them up and they just go total ice cold, man. It's a difference in a level. Here's what I love about having Adam on the second string now is we get all the Stripers reports now.
Yeah.
When we do have a guy like Smith Shawver that we may need, you're going to bring the heat right here on the second string podcast.
And a Bryce Elder. So. Bryce Elder spent some time down. I mean, all of them, they typically spend most of the season down there. So we're
I would expect
a
couple of those guys, at least one or two of them, to start their season in Gwinnett and see what happens from there. But yeah, today's a good ceremonial day. Do we get anything different? Not really. It's kind of anticlimactic. Hey, pitchers and catchers down in spring training. I love the images, but then I sit back. I'm like, well, still no baseball to watch.
Yeah, we got a few weeks here. So,
but the vibes are good. I'm a big vibe guy. I like to just find positivity in anything. One thing I do, and you're going to think I'm kind of cheesy for this, Adam, I'll wake up on a Monday morning and kind of like in my mind as I'm driving to work, I got about a 20-minute ride. I will try to come up with four or five things for that specific week that I'm excited about. And whether it's sports-wise or the weather or something that I can just say, hey, there's reason to be optimistic this week. Like this week absolutely was pitchers and catchers coming up today.
Yeah.
Georgia baseball opening day is going to be at Foley Field Friday, a couple days from today. That's all very exciting. I used to be way more into NASCAR than I am right now, but Daytona 500 coming up this weekend. You know what all those have in common?
Spring.
Spring sports. Yep, Hold on. You got to give me a song for this. I'm going to put you on the spot. Write a song. Go ahead. Go.
It's spring. It's springtime here in Georgia. It's not bad. It's about all I can do right now. This early in the
morning. Grab the balls and bats and crank up those cars.
Grab the balls and bats. That could be a dangerous...
That's something I did not... I'm easing you into some of the traditions, and some will stick, some will not, but every once in a while, if someone made a good point on the Second String podcast, like my spring revelation, or the fact that you got it right, I'll hit that. We expect a song.
Okay,
impromptu, no warning. It's like, whose line is it anyway?
Okay, you're just going to hit a song, and I got to start singing.
Just got to start singing.
Now I'm prepared for this.
Or I'll sing one way or the other.
But at least on this song, I the theme was right. Spring, Georgia, you know, we got it.
For your opening song, that was a good debut. We'll put it that way. But I think kind of the cheesier, the better. If you fall on your face miserably, we'll just make fun of you for it.
Great.
And that's just kind of the way we go with that. So I'll sing songs, you'll sing songs, and we'll all be happy for it. Spring is on the horizon, and there's a lot of cool stuff to be excited about, but how did you take in the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Listen,
that was a good one.
It was awesome. I stayed up, doing the morning show on WNGC. That is, and you know, at the ref, you got to wake up a little earlier than everybody else. But listen, that was the best Super Bowl. It was the most watched Super Bowl. They got the numbers. I watched it with the kids. We made the wings. We did all of that stuff, had the cookies and stuff. That was the most watched Super Bowl. They even looked at households and number of households. Over 220 million people watched that thing.
So, back up. You said you made wings.
Yep.
You lost me there. Elaborate more on that.
I mean,
because you know I like to cook it.
I glazed over it because I know that I don't want your critique because I know that I can't cook like you.
Do you get the raw wing? Like, talk to me like I'm 5 years old about how you get your wings.
It's the raw wings in the oven.
Okay.
We do the sauce.
Okay.
And do that.
Okay.
I check on them, make sure. I mean, I can't cook them like you.
I'm going to work with you.
All right.
I bet your kids loved them. I bet the wings were fantastic. We're going to make you the wing master, man. We're going to get you some raw chicken wings. We're going to drown them. And I mean, like, put them in a container, a Tupperware. You're going to drown them in mojo sauce. You can find it in the international aisle of any grocery store.
The mojo sauce.
Mojo sauce. It's sort of it's not going to sound good. It's a citrus-based, like, marinade.
That doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good at all until you marinate a wing in it, and then you dump the mojo sauce after 24 hours. Then you add your rub, whatever, you know, chicken wing rub, and then you bake those things or put them on the egg or put them on the smoke or whatever. When you bite into that chicken wing and you got that, like, hint of citrus base in the middle.
So that's the primer for the paint. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, you're not making citrus wings.
Yeah, to refresh everybody's memory, Logan can probably have his own show on the cooking network.
I'm getting there.
Whatever it is.
I'm learning a lot, but yes. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Primer for the paint itself.
That's
the big wing. But man, when you make that base, we'll work on it.
I need help with that then. Yeah, I did
you're
not
gonna
do
have
that.
Somebody in the near future be like, damn, where'd you find these? You're like, I made them. And then you're going to be better off for it.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the Super Bowl. Great, 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 great game. Like you said, overtime. The first time we've had these new rules in overtime, which I loved, by the way.
100%.
And here's the difference real quick. We'll kind of elaborate on this. So it wasn't... Back when the Falcons, and I hate talking about it, but the day they went to overtime in the Super Bowl, that's the only other time, and Tom Brady led this team down, they scored a touchdown, over, done. Matt Ryan does not get to touch the ball. If we had held them to a field goal like the Chiefs held the 49ers to a field goal, then the Falcons would have had a chance to come back and do it. However, what I love about these new rules, and I hate that it's only postseason. We need to make this all NFL
all
football
season, right?
But thankfully, we're at a point now in the postseason where if the 49ers had scored a touchdown, the Chiefs still get a chance to come back, and we'd lobby jockey back and forth to see who wins. But you know what I did? I was playing the squares game. I'm not a big gambler at all, Adam.
Not at all. No lottery, no nothing.
I'll pick up a lottery ticket when it's like 700 million. I don't waste my time with 400 million, Adam. I want 700.
You want the big bucks.
I want the big bucks. But I don't have the itch to go like bet on, you know, apps and over under spread. But when it comes to Super Bowl, you know the squares I'm talking
about. Yeah, of course. You pick your quarter and all that stuff, right?
So my wife was actually very lucky. She won quarter 2 and 3 because the score did not change. I forgot what it was. Was it 3-0, whatever it was?
10-3 or something
like that. Yeah, and then in the third quarter, the Chiefs scored 10 and the 49ers did not, so it kept it the same.
Yeah, right.
So she won a couple $100 just from just from having
did
a couple.
Did she slide
the right
you
square.
A few?
She needs to. She needs to feed me with that money. But here's what happened. Given. When we went to overtime, I looked to see let me see if I can do this in my head here. It was 19-19. No, it was 16-16 going to overtime. I looked at the square. I was like, okay, here's what I think's going to happen. I think San Francisco is going to go kick a field goal to make it I think it was 19-19. Yeah, it was. Okay, it was 19-19.
Yes.
I think they're going to go kick a field goal, and that'll put them at 2, 19-20, 21-22. I looked at the other one. I was like, well, I think the Chiefs are going to score a touchdown, but they won't have to kick the extra point because it'll be game over.
Right.
So add 6. It happened to be that square, a good buddy of mine that I know very well. I texted him. I texted him exactly what was going to happen, and guess what happened, Adam?
He won the money.
San Francisco
lost.
They kicked the field goal. Then Patrick Mahomes
went down the field.
And he did Patrick Mahomes things.
That's it. You have to do Patrick Mahomes.
Now we have to segue to talk about my man, Mecole Hardman.
Oh, man.
How about my man?
Listen,
fun was that?
Did you see the picture of him and Taylor Swift on the field at the end?
That's the ending deserved. In fact, let's take a pause right now. This will save us a few extra minutes on the other side to wrap the first half of the show up. We'll come back and talk all things Mecole and Taylor.
Okay.
You know, the combination we all saw coming.
I don't know why we didn't get this earlier.
Can you believe we wasted all season talking about Travis and Taylor?
Yeah, Mecole.
It was Mecole the whole time. Take a quick break, come back, and talk about the dog connection at the Super Bowl, along with my girl Taylor Swift. It's the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
You're listening to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
I would like to send out my condolences to all of you people that were sick and stinking tired of all that Taylor Swift that you got put in your face. I saw where she was on air for like 47 seconds on Super Bowl Sunday.
That is double of what she was for the championship game.
Can you imagine the pain and suffering that people had to go through to watch that beautiful woman, the most popular, arguably the most famous and currently successful human being on the planet, to be put on their television for 47 seconds?
You know,
suffering.
They'll complain about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear the complaints now that you don't see her. Where's Taylor?
I'm going to miss Taylor.
Yeah.
I did not complain. In fact, Dave and I on the morning show at 960, we made fun of those people that just let it trigger them for no reason. It's like, dude, it's a cool story. Everything I just said about her being the most popular. I mean, look, there's the Pope. We get that. There's, you know, soccer players in Europe that are probably a little bit more popular globally, but I am comfortable saying Taylor is the most popular thing going right now,
of course,
in the world, and it's just incredible. But her love story with Travis was kind of cool, but we didn't see Mecole sweeping her off her feet.
No, and listen.
You go, Mecole.
Mecole just came swooped on in, and you could see there's a picture where she's really happy to talk to Mecole, even maybe grabbing his arm. I don't know for sure. but Travis looking like, hey, come back here.
Travis was nervous.
Listen, Travis, You got to understand the dynamic. I do want to mention, before we really get into a little bit more Meikle, is there was a video. Taylor really likes Travis because she posted them from the club with her parents. And her dad was drinking a beer.
Love it. I'm assuming that was the after party.
Yeah,
the after party, right.
Yeah,
hey, we just won the Super Bowl. Let's go party till the sun comes up and then some, man.
But, yeah.
Yeah, love it for Meikle Hardman. His story this year is pretty incredible. He started the season with the New York Jets. Did not have a very good start to the season. I believe he had hand surgery at some point and missed a little bit of time with that. Wound up getting picked up by his old team, which he had already won two Super Bowls with, and did not have much action at all. In fact, in the division series game against the Bills, Meikle had a really bad moment where he was almost about to score a touchdown, then fumbled the ball into and out of the goal. It was a touchback Bills, their ball.
That was a big controversy, yeah.
It was terrible. And I think the next game against the Ravens, like, I don't know if Meikle touched the ball.
I don't remember. I don't remember them even saying his name.
And that could have been one of those trust things, like, hey, man, you kind of messed up last week. Like, can we trust you? Well, we don't know yet. But in the Super Bowl, for him to have that moment, I mean, hey, you and I growing up, we've all caught Super Bowl winning touchdowns in the front yard.
Of course.
With our boys. He got to do that in real life.
Can
How
you imagine?
Cool is that, man?
I wonder if he just sits down now and thinks about that entire moment and what that felt like to have. I mean, when we catch him in our yard, it's just a couple guys or a couple kids screaming. You literally have not only the whole world, but in that stadium, that noise, Logan, in your face.
Taylor Swift watching.
Right,
man.
And you got to feel the feeling never can be replicated again.
It's awesome. I saw on his Instagram story that he was at, I guess after the game, he was like, wait, where's the ball? I shouldn't have thrown it on the ground.
Yeah, he should have kept
Where's the ball? But eventually they did get the ball back to
him. They did,
so that is in his possession. If I had to guess, it's probably going to wind up like in the Chiefs Hall of Fame there in Kansas City. It should. But it's his for now. If he wants to keep it and put it in Bowman, Georgia, up the road, man, go for it. I'd pay to go look at it.
He's an Elbert County kid, yeah.
Bowman is a little city in Elbert County, but same. You can say both. Elbert Bowman, he's from that.
So my question is, why did the Chiefs, I mean, obviously didn't have a good performance leading up to the Super Bowl, but why get rid of him knowing the Chiefs had not very good talent at receiver?
You know, the ins and outs of roster management in the NFL are just like, there's no logical explanation for a lot of stuff. It could have been a bean counting thing in terms of a financial, hey, we just don't have the money right now, or we'd rather use that money elsewhere. It could have been a contract length of time. Who knows? But the fact that he was able to come back on the Chiefs is just a really storybook ending for him. I don't know how much longer he'll be around. He is not a standout NFL guy right now.
No.
I think when he was younger, he was a little bit more action, and you saw a really bright future, and he's done very well for himself. I'm not saying he's a dud by any stretch. It's just he's not the Antonio Brown, George Pickens currently right now. I mean, think of other big receivers in the league over the years that have just been ridiculously awesome. Diggs, what's Diggs' name up in Buffalo?
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon, love me some Stephon Diggs.
You got so many.
Yeah, he's just
big
not
talent.
That,
yeah.
but he is a very reliant, or he was a good wide receiver for a few years, and now he's got three rings. How awesome, man!
Man, if you have three rings on anything, you're a success.
And let me get petty here real quick for a second, because we love our Georgia Bulldogs here in Athens. Juwan Jennings was the guy making all the plays for the 49ers. He had that double pass. He threw the touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey. Wide receiver Juwan Jennings, he caught another touchdown pass later. 100,000%, no doubt about it, if the 49ers had won that game, he was going to be your MVP of the game.
Yes, he was.
Right? Well, he played for them lousy, stinking Tennessee Vols back in the day. Adam, I know you're not as deep in the weeds of like Georgia football as some of us. He is the guy that caught the Hail Mary.
In Sanford
Stadium back in 2016. That was the guy, Juwan Jennings. So personally, that doesn't really bother me, because the next year we beat him 41-0 in Nashville. But Knoxville, that's a different story. But here's what I love, my petty aspect. Tennessee fans, and I know of some of them, I know the radio hosts up in Knoxville, we're friends, I follow them on Twitter, they were loving the fact that their boy was just dominating the Super Bowl. This is so good for the Tennessee Vols. Until Mecole caught the game-winning touchdown. Take that, Tennessee.
How does that feel? By the way, six players on the Chiefs, Georgia-born, Georgia-bred guys, they were all starters, had a hand in that Super Bowl win, including the kicker, Harrison Butker.
Now, we don't like him.
No, I understand that.
He beat us back in
2014. I understand that.
I'm just messing.
But at least they're Georgia-born boys.
All right, we got to hit a quick break, Adam. Come back. We're halfway done. More Second String to come on the other side right here on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
The Whiz Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn, so down on the corner the national pastime went on trial. Talking baseball, Klazuski.
The great Terry Cashman talking baseball. I think he referenced marijuana there for a second, Adam.
He did. You know, listen, if you do that, you got a song on your hands. I remember growing up in Pennsylvania going to Pittsburgh Pirate games, and they would change that hook, baseball and the Bucks. That's what they would do instead of...
In fact, if you wanted to deep dive into YouTube somewhere, I believe back in the 70s or maybe 80s at some point, Terry Cashman, the artist of the song, this is probably what you're talking about. He wrote a version of this song for every single team.
Okay, I didn't know that. So there we go. That's why that... Because it sounded the same. Like, I'm hearing that song, I'm like... Wait, they changed it, but was it the same guy? But interesting.
We have found, they're not easy to find, though. The Braves one lingers out there in the interwebs somewhere, but it's good stuff, man. I'm sure we can find the Pirates. In fact, there's our homework. Between now and next week, we will find the Terry Cashman Talking Baseball Pirates and Braves edition.
That's good. Yeah, we can hear a little bit of it. But they changed the words and made it, you know, their own.
I got to ask you this, and without giving away too much details, unless you want to, we're not that far apart in age group.
Right.
And you grew up in the Pennsylvania area.
Right.
So were you a Pirate fan growing up?
No. I'm going to preface this by saying...
It's all good, man.
We live closer to Baltimore.
Okay.
So we went to the Orioles games. And going to the Orioles games was awesome.
Like, that's actually one of very few stadiums I've been to.
I love it.
I had a great... Here's a quick story for you. I was a student at UGA back in 2013, we'll call it. We'll call it the... Actually, it was 2014. Okay. I was at a convention in Washington, like a sports writers convention for a program I was in. At Georgia. Then a lot of the guys, like the mentors that were part of that convention, were like, hey, we're going to hop on an Amtrak and go up to Baltimore tonight and go to an Orioles game, which was, you know, not that far. As you know, it's like Metro Washington, essentially. So my wife was actually up there with me. So we decided, hey, we'll tag along. Went and bought a couple Amtrak tickets, did the whole convention thing for the day. And then about 4 or 5 o'clock, we hopped on the train. They dropped you off at the gate of Camden Yards. That's literally the name of the stop on the Amtrak line was like Camden Yards, Oriole Ballpark, whatever. We're like, sweet, this is fantastic. Went out, hung out with a lot of guys. We watched the Orioles and the Rays, and we hung out on Utah Street, you know, the place out in front of the warehouse with all the little baseballs that show the home runs that have been hit. That was the greatest night. However, getting home was a nightmare.
Really?
I don't know the whole schedule, but we somehow, unbeknownst to us, it wasn't our fault, we just didn't know that the schedule, we missed like the last train back to Washington.
Oh my god.
And
goodness.
We had to wind up paying like five times a normal Amtrak ticket for an express train that was just going to happen to come through like an hour later. And we got a ticket, got on the thing, but it took us like 5 hours to get from Baltimore back to Washington in the middle of the night. And apparently where we were in Baltimore was not the greatest area.
No, you know, that's one thing about Baltimore. You got to be careful where you're going. And listening to that story, you know, growing up and going down to the games with my dad, and I took the kids a couple years ago. You know, I wish we had that in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I wish for the Braves they had some sort of experience like that, because it is a pain, and you pick the body part you want to call it. It is a pain to get down there.
I love the Battery. I love Truist Park. I think everything they built there is the envy of everybody else. In fact, specifically just yesterday, the Kansas City Royals announced they are in the process of building what they essentially the Battery and their new ballpark. But the one gripe, you just said it, man, parking and getting there stinks. And I don't think the traffic is as bad as we thought it was going to be. It's still construction, and hey, it's top-end perimeter. They can get bad with no notice. But parking at Truist Park in the Battery, it stinks.
You know that they've eliminated some parking now because they put another office building up there. And that's the thing. I wish we had that experience because who doesn't want to miss a train and pay five times?
Exactly. $100 just to get down the road. But but I dream one day, and this may or may not happen in our lifetimes, man, but one day you would think that the whole metro Atlanta area, including here in Athens, will like get it together and get some rail. Get something where I can be in Midtown, Georgia, or heck, even in Gwinnett County and take a tram or a train down to the perimeter and over to the Battery. If I'm in Atlanta, I can hop on a train and get dropped off at the Battery. I know there's so many politics. There's a lot more to it than just saying, let's do it. But damn it, if they did it, it would be awesome.
Well, listen, they're too busy building up apartment complexes and the mixed use. That's the problem. And until that happens, we're just going to be all sitting in traffic.
But I do love the Truist Park. In fact, my wife and I bought a house back in 2017, where we're still at today in Bethlehem, and we closed the exact same day the first Braves game, a regular season game, took place in then SunTrust Park.
I was there. It's crazy. I remember where I sat, and little did I know that you were getting a house that day.
Yeah, we got two houses that day. We got our house in Bethlehem and the new ballpark. Did you know I got married at Turner Field, Adam?
I saw the pictures.
I got married at Turner Field, which was pretty sweet. That was her idea, not mine. It was our idea. I'm saying that was her that said, why not Turner Field? It's like, honey, now we're talking.
Let me tell you a little bit about Turner Field. I used to work for Georgia State football doing the Jumbotron up until last year. And underneath, so when Georgia State took over the stadium, they reconfigured it. I remember the first year, underneath, the Braves just left. And they left a lot of things. We're talking training room equipment. We're talking signs. We're talking merch that they just didn't, they just couldn't bring. So if you go under Turner Field to this day, there are not only thousands of seats they took out from Olympic Stadium that are still under there, but they have old backdrops, old storage bins of the Braves from years past. I remember seeing the 2000 ALCS division series. You just name it, whatever. I may not get the years right. I see the 30-year anniversary they brought over from Fulton County of the Braves things. And it's unbelievable the stuff they have under there that Georgia State can't do anything with that's still sitting under there.
Don't you feel like nostalgia's in?
It's awesome. I love it.
I'm a very nostalgic person, but I feel like today's, like our generation right now, I feel like if you put those seats or those banners or something up for an auction, like I would bid on them.
Of course.
I've got man caves. I've got sheds. I've got places I can put
them. We've
got sports stations here in the building. We can put them down there. They need to make some money off these
things. They do. They haven't done it yet. And Georgia State needs help for financially, at least.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got married in February. Anniversary coming up very soon, by the way. But we got married in February in the 755 Club. So it's not like we got married on the field or in the stands during a game. It was actually nobody was there but us.
Oh, that's great.
They did let us take some photos on the field, which was very, very cool. But yeah, we got the 755 Club all to ourselves that day, friends and family, in a very nice venue. It was pretty sweet.
Beautiful.
I'm still slightly mad at my mother-in-law. Love her to death, by the way. But she vetoed the nachos, hot dog, stadium food spread. I know. She wanted a little more classy, Logan, so she had an Italian caterer come
in. For some people.
But I told her, I was like, no, we want hot dogs and nachos.
For some people, that may have been a deal breaker. That's props to you for not calling off the wedding.
She would have been left at the altar. Like, why? Where's Logan? Well, they wouldn't serve hot dogs and nachos.
I'm out.
No kidding. They what was the Skippin' Pete's barbecue?
Right, yeah. I mean, I can't have that.
No doubt about it.
Unbelievable. So, Italian food.
We got, okay, I'm going to say this. I hope I don't offend anybody. Me and the missus got so drunk at our wedding that we have no memory of our meal.
If that's
bar,
the one thing to forget, that's okay.
We probably learned a lesson a lot of people learn when they get married is you spend so much time being the center of attention and you want to like go see everybody. Sometimes you forget to eat. And that happened to us.
That caught up on, you probably didn't even touch your meal, right?
Then that open bar kind of settled in too, man. So, but we had a great wedding. It was a lot of fun, man. Good to reminisce on that. But yeah, baseball's here and very excited about it. Let's go back to the Super Bowl, bounce around a little bit.
Yeah, we forgot about that, yeah.
We talked about nostalgia being in. And one thing I love about my age group, our age group right now, we all of a sudden are the target demographic for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they know they can sell us anything.
And we'll buy it too. Yeah. Like we're into nostalgia. We do believe in our heart of hearts that I definitely believe the world was a little bit better back in the day.
I know it was. Listen, I understand how cool it is to go to a Super Bowl and to see all of the stuff they have and all of the extra stuff. But my goodness, let me throw on the 1993 Cowboys Super Bowl or the 1999-2000 Super Bowl from Atlanta where the Rams player that almost tried to get it. Looking at those, that's nostalgia right there.
It's fantastic. So, like, being part of the demographic, we are now what the halftime shows are trying to reel in, me and you.
Right.
And especially that we're from Atlanta. And how nuts did you go during that halftime show?
From start to finish.
I'm a little bit sore still from dancing around the living room.
Listen,
man.
I would love that Usher shared the spotlight. Mm-hmm. You know, he gave, like, and that's what makes it so good. It's not just Usher up there. The world saw Atlanta and Georgia in every way. And then he threw Alicia Keys up there. I don't know. Is Alicia Keys from Georgia? I don't think she is.
I think she's a New York girl.
But she had a bunch of songs with him, so that makes sense. But when you bring Luda and Usher, which, I mean, they had like spacesuits on, what it looked like.
I had to drive from my lake back to Bethlehem on Sunday afternoon before I settled in for the Super Bowl. And here's a real quick story. I bought AirPods not long ago. I'm late to the party.
I realize, is this your first?
Everybody in the world has wireless headphones. I'm like a few months into my very first pair.
Are you sure you live around here at the lake?
But the beautiful thing about that is, and this is how old school I've become and how like into the new I am, with my AirPods came a few free months of Apple Music.
Oh, you scored on that.
I love it. I told my wife, I was like, when this free trial expires, I'm absolutely going to keep paying for it. It's worth every penny of it. But I get all the music I want in my phone on the go, is what I'm saying. I'm not, okay. And this is no knock. I know we're a radio station. We promote a lot of new music, too. But when I'm in my car, like, away from Athens, and I want to, like, hey, let me refresh my mind on some Usher. I pulled up the Essentials, you know, the Usher album on my 2-hour drive home, and I found myself jamming like I was back at Berkmar High School in 2001. It was fantastic, and singing every word. So when he came out at halftime, and a little bit of a slow-ish start, but when they got that what I was playing just a second ago, when Little John came out.
That was your parking lot song, wasn't it?
When Ludacris came out, oh, absolutely.
I remember the clubs in Atlanta when that song came out. I think they were called Vision, Velvet Room. I'm just throwing some out there, but I do remember
One Tweezy.
You know, all that stuff. That was the song. You could put that on a loop for an hour, and no one would care. They're like, no, whatever.
Just keep it going, man.
And I remember during that time, Usher had like 4 or 5 songs at a time on the charts for a year or two span. It was like Usher every other song, and I'm like, whoa. But they were good. You weren't tired of them.
I'm going to tell you a very quick, and I'll keep the details to an absolute bare minimum here, but this is a second string after dark story. Okay?
All right.
When I was young and crazier, way crazier than I am now, and I was even a single man, all right, I was with some guys that I lived in the same little area of Midtown with. It was someone's birthday, and we decided to go to a certain adult establishment up off of Briarcliff and... what is it? You know what I'm talking about. It's got a horse name.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
There was a few of those. Yeah.
We'll look it up if you want to. Anyway, we're there just for a very bachelor style party, okay? It's not my scene. I really don't like those kind of places. It's not my thing. But while we're there, a guy named Usher comes in with his entourage. It's They're doing their thing, all right? Well, let's just say that nobody in that room was getting any attention. Except for my man Usher and his entourage, because they knew.
There were some dollars that were lost.
Those, I would assume the ladies that work in that place know that, hey, when Usher's here, we're about to get paid.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
So anyway, just a weird kind of random story. But yeah, living in Atlanta for many years, there was also another time I was walking in front of my... I used to live in a loft at 878 Peachtree Street. That's at 8th Street and Peachtree, just right above the Vortex, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, what prompted you to live there?
I was living there through my whole like mid-early 20s. I was working in an ad agency and doing bike messenger stuff for a while. That's back when you could afford to live there.
Yeah, forget
you
it
can't
now.
Anymore.
Yeah.
But I was walking with a good buddy of mine, Eric, who lived in my building, and we're just walking up. And right there at the stoplight, right in front of our place, is this beautiful Lamborghini. And you could very clearly see my man Usher just sitting in the driver's seat. We didn't bother him. He wasn't bothering anybody. You're just like, oh, no, there's Usher. Just
unbelievable.
Just a cool little moment.
I will tell you that Usher showed up to one of our club gigs back in the day, the other radio station I worked for, our club broadcast. And, you know, one of the things about live radio in a club is you got to be careful what you say.
Sure.
Well, you got to turn the mic off on the radio when Usher comes in because no one knew. You know what I mean? And I remember he had done the video for In Vision where he showed up. Oh, my goodness.
I'm watching that video now.
That
is
a Vision that he did that. Yeah. You know what they did to Vision? They tore it down and built a high-rise.
Did they?
Unbelievable.
Do you know where it was? Like
on 14th. Oh,
okay.
On Peachtree.
Gotcha,
down that,
gotcha.
Between 10 and 14th, you had Vision, Velvet Room, One Tweezy.
I used to live, I had an apartment for a brief time at 13th and Peachtree Place, which is no longer there.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Almost the same roof as all those Twisted Taco and Vision was around the corner. Yeah, I forgot that's where that was.
It was always down there, but yeah, they tore
that whole area has changed, like in an upscale way. Like I said, I could never afford to live like I used to live down in Midtown Atlanta. But yeah, when he came on the halftime show, I gave it an A+ personally.
100%.
I don't know if like the whole world agrees with us, but it hit us home.
Our age group, yes. Mm-hmm. I think people younger, maybe. Older,
A couple years ago in Los Angeles when it was Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, who by the way, he's now 75 Cent. He's been eating a lot of the red meats like I have, by
he's
the way.
I just did a story on him about getting a trainer or something, a diet. I'm serious.
I'm sure he's probably back in great shape. Yeah. But when he was hanging upside down, which was like a mimicking of his old video in the Super Bowl, his face was so red because he was like, all that blood rushed to his face.
Yeah.
You could tell he was so uncomfortable. And I'm like, bro, 75 cents in the house.
100%. Yeah, Usher, I think Usher's halftime show did actually one-up the Dr. Dre Eminem. Though I loved it. It just it one-upped it.
I think there was
so
a prop bet of if he was going to take his shirt off or not. That was easy money. You knew he was going to take his shirt off.
Yeah, what was the odds on that, obviously?
And my wife was impressed. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, she was.
He still got it, man. He still got what he's always
had. She said the words you thought she was going
to
say?
Okay. I think she didn't have to say it. I could just look over and she's like, oh. Yeah, Usher. Then he got on roller skates and everything.
Yeah, Usher's 44.
Yeah, a little bit older than me.
Yeah.
Good for him. Ask you, you've got a daughter. How old is your daughter?
8.
Now, did she get into the whole, like, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce
thing?
Oh,
listen to
me.
She watched the game, and she has watched it the past couple of years, but didn't care. Well, Taylor Swift was the biggest thing, and I am so glad I held on to the Taylor Swift merch that I kept from the old radio station for years.
Nice.
That she can wear it now, because that is what she wants. And every time we showed it, but let me tell you something, and if we could have played some sort of drinking game, but we wouldn't, you know, on the show for it. But every time my little boy would punk her and say, look, Taylor Swift, and she wasn't on there just screwing with her. Oh, it was so funny. So she would scream, stop.
And, you know, not to keep beating a dead horse here, but, like, that's what the cool aspect of the whole Taylor thing was. I've heard a lot of stories like that where dads and daughters bonded over Taylor Swift and football. I thought it was a great thing. So, anyway, just a great recap. Football is gone. Baseball ushering back in. Let's hit a quick break. We'll come back. Only a couple minutes left. We'll come wrap up this episode of the Second String Podcast and get us ready for springtime. He's Adam. I'm Logan. It is the Second String right here on WGAU.
You're listening to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Man, this is a young Usher. I'm watching this on the YouTubes right now.
This is 2001?
Is it something around there?
Yeah.
This is one of those when I was driving home on Super Bowl Sunday. This one cranked up in the car, and like I both won and lost The Voice at the same time. I'm sure in my mind I was sounding gorgeous.
You had a concert in your car.
But if you had like a live stream, you'd be like, what on earth is Logan doing?
Man, yeah. Listen, this is perfect for Valentine's week. Did we
That's
just
right.
say Valentine's Day? You know, this is perfect.
Now, my missus doesn't care a thing about Valentine's Day. She tells me, do not buy me
I've heard,
anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good financially.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, are you going to spoil the daughter? What are your
plans?
Yeah,
that's what we're doing. Okay. I got her some stuff. We had the daddy-daughter dance.
I saw that.
So we did that earlier.
So, quick question. We don't have much time left, but like I noticed every single male with a daughter in that age range this last weekend was doing a daddy-daughter dance.
This time of year.
Is it always right now?
It's always around right now,
good.
And
well,
it makes sense.
She looked gorgeous.
Well, thanks.
You didn't look too bad yourself,
I tried. It's very rare that I do that. But we will do a little Valentine's dinner tonight. Sweet. Something easy, you know, because doing Valentine's Day in the middle of the week is just, ugh.
Well, I'm fortunate, man, that I don't have to, like, go buy a bunch of just stuff. Like, my wife is very adamant. Like, what we're going to do is go to the park near our house and just have a walk tonight. I may even hold her hand, Adam.
Wow.
I might even hold her hand.
You can say, hey, your hand looks heavy. Can I hold it?
That's a good line right there.
You know, I mean.
Good stuff. But, yeah, well, the next few weeks, Georgia basketball keeps on struggling, man. I want to be excited about Georgia basketball. I want to keep proclaiming that, yes, they're getting better, but, like.
When, Logan, though?
I know, man.
This is one of those things where you look at Georgia and you look. This is the hub. Atlanta, Georgia is the hub of high school basketball in the country. One of the hubs.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia cannot get anybody.
It's the struggle we've had for a long, long time. The positives, if you look toward the future, Asa Newell is a kid out of the panhandle of Florida. One of the top players in the nation, five-star kid. He's already signed, coming next year. Go up the road to, I think it's Grayson High School. That's where Dominique Wilkins' son Jacob is playing.
Yeah.
He's already committed to Georgia, too. So we're starting to kind of see a little bit of change in that mindset. But in all honesty, with all college sports, maybe basketball more than ever, every single year is a roster rebuild. So we have no idea what players from this team are going to be back next year, how the recruiting is going to pan out. But I do recognize that Coach Mike White is getting our team in position to win games. Unfortunately, they're just not getting the dubs. They're losing in heartbreaking fashion at the end. And if you had just won two of the last five that you lost, it's a completely different vibe. But unfortunately, this season specifically, the good feelings are starting to fade, unfortunately. So we're ready to turn over to baseball, I think.
And that's the thing about this, too, is it's only going to get tougher when you have Texas and Oklahoma coming in to the SEC. I don't know, man. I don't want to say Georgia ever in anything is a bottom feeder, but we're getting close.
Your history is literally 1983 when you went to the Final Four. That's it. I mean, you've been to a couple of tournaments since then, but it's just not very good, man. So, speaking of changes in Texas and Oklahoma, a couple minutes left here. Like, I'm giddy excited for the fall of 24. I am not trying to rush spring. I'm looking really forward to a long, hot summer at the lake, all those things that I love. But when we get to football season again and we have added Texas and Oklahoma, we have like all the other alignments, the UCLAs and USCs, Washington, Oregon, all going to the Big Ten, the 12-team playoff, I'm really excited for the next chapter of college football. I think the 12-team playoff more than anything else, because you can lose a game like Georgia lost to Alabama in pretty heartbreaking fashion at the end, and you still get a chance to go win a championship.
Which is perfect.
I don't want a 64-team bracket. Nobody does. But my point is, I don't feel like 12 is too much. I think 12 is a good number, and we'll see over time if it is or not.
Because if you look at the top 12 teams, they play entertaining bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
The top 12 usually do, top 10.
Yeah.
I want to know how you feel about the Pac-12 getting one of two teams is going to get in for at least the next couple of years.
Well, there's no guarantee on that. I mean, the way it's worded right now, and this is probably going to change when we got about a minute, we're like 6-6 means the top six ranked conference champions. That doesn't mean all the Power Five. Let's just say hypothetical Washington or Oregon State are just bad. They're at the bottom. The rest of the Pac-12, which will eventually be the Mountain West and Pac-12, if their conference champion is 8-4 and they're not ranked, which is very possible, that does not mean they get an automatic bid. What if Tulane is ranked number 18, the American conference champion? Guess what? They're in. What if Georgia State wins the Sun Belt and they're ranked like 21 or 22? They get in over an unranked Pac-12 because they are ranked higher then.
What a twist. Okay.
It's a big twist, but it's those things are unlikely what I just said.
Yeah, right.
But yes, the next couple of years, you're going to see a lot more participants, and I'm excited as heck for all that. And I think when we get into this summer and fall, the optimism is going to be really, really high.
Be exciting. So, give us something to look forward to. Yep.
Adam, we got to go, man.
All right. Already.
Any parting words? You got 12 seconds to tell the people whatever you want.
Listen, we have baseball.
Yes, we do.
We still living off of Usher.
Man.
And we're ready to go.
We'll keep the Usher coming next week, too, if they can handle it. All right. Another episode in the books. Adam, have a great week. It's
you too,
the second
my man.
String right here on WGAU.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.